Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Good.
Small but mighty this morning. Yeah. That's good. We're two or more gathered, right? So we got that covered. We're getting ready to launch a study that we do every year here at Neighbors of Hope with our men. And that's Brennan Manning's Ragamuffin Gospel. Now we haven't launched into that yet, but I would like to look at a scripture or a small pericope that I think relates to what we will learn from Brennan in the Ragamuffin Gospel, because the Ragamuffin Gospel is predominantly about God's grace, how God loves you as you are. Right? So in that sense, no matter what evil or bad or good that you have in your past, God loves you today, and so we need to embrace that present truth. All right. You with me?
Yes, oh yeah.
All right. Then let's press forward. Then. All right, so that pericope that I've chosen comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. If one of you fine gentlemen would be so kind as to read that for us, I would certainly appreciate it.
At the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, or one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their necks and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come."
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, all right. First impressions. What kind of jumps out at you?
I would say, obviously, he relates us becoming like children. I think to me, it sounds like he's saying, you know, become more obedient, you know. But first, he placed the child among them, amongst everybody else. So he puts him around, and now this child is the most vulnerable person out there. So you got to be vulnerable, you got to be obedient. But kids look up for answers. They have to look up for everything. So the people they go to are bigger than them. So you got to lower yourself to realize the answers only come from up. That's how I look at it. When it comes down to the, you know, if you cause them to stumble, be better to have a large millstone hung around your neck. It's just the visual I get from that is being thrown to the sea. You know, when you dive, you know, you got loved ones around you. They're there to either some sort of ceremony, cremation, burial, whatever. But if you're at the bottom of the sea with a stone around you, there's nothing. There's no evidence. You're just done.
Fish food.
Yeah, fish food. You're done. There's nothing to remember you by. You're just forgotten. Out of sight, out of
mind. Yeah, it's kind of haunting.
Yeah.
Mystery is about. Sticks out to me is just like, you know, going back to square one thing, like that restart, fresh slate. For me, this kid's like, that kid's real trusting. They're not jaded or bitter or cynical. They haven't gone through life experience. They haven't been hurt yet, but so far. They have a different outlook. They're open, ready. They come from vulnerable, but they're just ready to love, ready to have that faith, hopeful. And, you know, yeah, it's that joy. So that's what we have to go back to. We have to get past all of our past and not be bitter. Just want to get better. Can't get the guard up.
You
mean, like, kids are like, this is not for even kids, man. Shame on the one that would take an innocent child. And in this sense, harm them, hurt them, cause them to be better, or take them away from this faith.
They can't do it on their own. Their legs are too short, their arms are too short, their arms are reaching out. They can't do nothing on their own.
Instead,
they need a little stool to wash their hands.
That's the thing, you have to have that thirst, that hunger for this too, like they do. They need to be fed, they need to be talked to and taught. You gotta come to me like, you know, I'm thirsty for this. Never get enough. Always
you. You even gotta cut their steak up for me.
Okay, here we go. I see in your community and reception of the child as if you were receiving Jesus. You know, Jesus loves his followers. Like, you know, here it is. You receive this child who humbles himself, then you're receiving me. You know, so, and if you don't, if you hurt him, it's better that you, this horrible thing happens to you with the millstone. So, to me, I see community in it. In verse 5, where it says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me.
The thing stands out is you have to become one by one of these little children. You have to be able to be received. You have to be willing to let other people and God receive you. And if you can't do that, then you're not going to be received.
Because sometimes people humbly come wanting help from.
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If they do, then receive them.
You got any initial thoughts there, young man?
Yeah. When someone's willing, when someone is ignorant of the way and willing to change, those that are teaching the word, they have a responsibility to not lead them astray. And that's, you know, through words and actions. You got to set a good example.
Yeah, I mean, the way, yeah, like, that's a good accent. Just kind of had those first few verses where Jesus is specific. You get the word picture that, you know, these kids are coming up and sitting on his knee and type stuff. And then all of a sudden, he kind of, those who believe in him. And that's kind of Matthew's way of shifting the, from the, well, here it'd be a simile, like children, to what we would say the neophytes of the faith. Babes in the faith. So you got to be careful on who's misleading the babes in the faith. I mean, you've come to me. So it's kind of a play on words there a little bit that applies to both. So yeah, that's a good insight. Well, let's back this up just a little bit and see if I can accentuate some things. Typically when we read this, what jumps off the page is the child. And I do think from a character within the context of the story here, you know, that should be what jumps out at us, right? So who's asking the question?
Disciples.
Okay. So it's almost as if, right? I'm chuckling because if you read this and they get the first couple of verses about the children, literally, in a sense, and then it goes off to the neophytes, it's like the neophytes are asking the question. And he's telling the neophytes, if you, all right, cause. So now, obviously, you know, Matthew, several decades later, is putting this together in his gospel. And there's a lot of others who are going to read this that are the neophytes. And by that time, these disciples are, you know, pillars of the faith. Okay? But it's kind of interesting there. So Jesus is really instructing disciples, right? I think what's always jumped out at me about the Jesus character, about Jesus himself, is he always does the work of Abba. And somehow he's doing that right here. Somehow putting children on your knee and kind of breaking into laughter with them is the work of the Father. How dare anybody, right, disturb the work of the Father? Right? And anything that we do to disturb that is the somebody one. Right? Now, we have to appreciate that in the first century, children had no status in society whatsoever. None. As opposed to what we have now. So if the work of the Father is reaching down to the least of them, to the unrecognized,
most humble.
And these are the disciples. And so part of, you know, in this discourse, Matthew's gospel is broken into five discourses. And in this one, it's the teaching discourse. It's prior to his triumphal entry, right? And so he's teaching the disciples. It comes right after his second announcement about his death and resurrection. And there's a lot of parables in this section. So he's teaching his disciples that if you're really going to be following after me, you need to be about Daddy's work. And becoming humble like children was really good about that. We said things like, well, they're innocent, which is true, but let's understand that in this context, innocence is they are ignorant. So it's not a bad thing. They just don't have the knowledge of certain life experiences. Right? I don't think it's not simply that Abba reaches down and puts the ignorant on the knee. Right? But it's not to say Abba does it. That's not what I'm saying. Right? As much as, so if we understand the social context and their status within society, and somehow or another Abba has a preferential option for the least of them, so should you. Right? Because the beautiful thing really about children, outside of their innocence and you know, their short arms and legs, what I love about my grandson and other small kids and everything is there's no pretense. These kids are not like pushing and shoving and who's going to be first in line to get on Jesus' knee like he's Santa Claus or something, right? They're not trying to, oh, I got to run home and I got to pretty my hair before I go, you know, here comes Jesus. I got to get, you know, my best clothes on and get my hair all styled up so that he'll wreck me. No, they don't care. They're dirty. They've been out there playing. They're not really esteemed within the social order. There's no pretense. They're not pretending to be something they're not. They come to him as they are. Alright? There's no... So it's really a statement between the elitism. Look, you want to come to Jesus, you know, you got to go through all these classes. You want to come to Jesus, you know, you got to do all this stuff. And what we'll discover when we start reading Brennan Manning's Ragamuffin Gospel, no, we come to Jesus as we are. No pretense. Right? My cheese has fallen off its cracker. I don't have life figured out. I have a pretty rough history. That would take a lot of humility to... If Jesus is about the work of his Father and says we're supposed to be likewise, then maybe we too ought to start accepting people without the pretense. Right? And if we're going to be the child that crawls up on the knee of Jesus, we need to drop our pretense. You know, we need to be truthful with ourselves, see ourselves truthfully, right? And stop trying to impress God or something. Because what we see, Jesus just takes us as we are.
You always, you know, not many things of Jesus. We have our past, this, we don't have it all figured out. One thing that part gets left out, and it says, well, this is the change in ourselves, we're always thinking, change like that, transformation. You know, I know I'm a mess, I know I don't have it figured out, I never probably fully will, I'm a mess at the time. But I'm fighting to try to figure it out. And the next step is always my best step. Even when I stumble, my feet don't hit the ground. We're trying, we're fighting it. I think it stops a lot of times. People are like, oh, I'm screwed up, I messed up, whatever, I'm human, I make mistakes. But then you just lay there and that's how you are. But what's the next step? You've got to come to them. You want to learn like that child. I want to change my mind. I want to change those ways. I want to be better. You know, but you can't just leave it. I see what you're saying. You can't remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Real quick, put the cheese on the cracker like I got it together. No.
Well, with how you just painted that picture, he called the little child to him. We would all say we have a calling. We're called to God. So we need to, like you said, forget that pretense even about ourselves and start learning what we're being taught. even Jesus learned.
Yeah, Luke says that. Yeah. He grew up in wisdom and stature. So, I think what you're talking about, Zach, is sometimes if he's calling, what's our response? All right. Is it, well, I hear the calling, but let me get my act together, and then I'll come over and sit down and break bread with you? Or is it just like kids? It's like, you see Jesus going through the villages, you know, he's got a little ice cream cone and stuff, you know, kids are going to, kids are going to want to lick. They're not going to pretend. I want some. So, well, here, Kyle, here, I'll share. What? It's to where some of us may go, I don't know. What was in that truck? You know, what's the food, you know, how well is the food handler's certification update, all that kind of stuff. But that's really the bottom line. I mean, in the instruction to the disciples, if we're going to be like Jesus, who is like his Father, so if we're going to be, as Paul said, imitators of God, we humble ourselves to welcome people. Right? We aren't putting up any pretense. Right? And I think here, to some degree, you can't be the greatest if we have all these fascinations and attractions to try and merit God's love. Kids aren't doing that. We don't see that. You know, they will. That's why they'll argue over, you know, the candy. Or whatever, the last piece of French toast on the breakfast day, right? They're not bashful about it. They just, I know I want that. You know, I want to go sit on Jesus' knee. I haven't taken a shower and I haven't done all these other things. And Jesus said, that's cool. That's the way we should come to God. Right?
We'll get that.
Yeah, and that's just, I like this little story on setting the stage for Brennan Mead. Because that's kind of what Brennan's going to say, the way God responds to us as we come as we are. Now, once we hop down off the knee, then what's the rest of our life look like? How does that transformation, that encounter of grace, start changing us? So that becomes a response to the grace that we've encountered by, in a sense, sitting on it.
That initial encounter, you always got to remember to stay humble, not put on those gears, don't put yourself front of line, play the background. Once you get going, you think like, oh yeah, I got this, I'm such and such, and got that crap out. Get back to being like that child, and always remember that. Stay low and be humble. I see people get caught up in even this and these titles and on this, but you work through that dirty little child now, you think? You
know, they don't walk around in a poopy diaper.
It's low, but it's just, it's the whole, it's, yeah.
Oh yeah,
so you
yeah,
gotta,
yeah.
Remember, to be childlike, you gotta keep going back.
Yeah, I think Brennan would say something to the fact that, you know, don't let your soiled linen, you know, prevent you from coming to Jesus. All right? And as he welcomes you in your soiledness, he'll help clean you. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for your insights and your sharing and the conversation this morning. This edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.